Welcome to another episode of Go With Angels. Thank you for soaring with us through the boundless skies of inspiration and wisdom. As you navigate the currents of life, may your wings be strong and your spirit free. I'm Mary Brotherton, your host and guide on this celestial journey. Together, we'll embrace the journey and trust the process as we go forth with angels. Over the years, I've written many poems, short stories, blog posts, articles for newspapers and magazines, monologues, scripts, and even a few novels. My personal writing has been revised, rewritten, reviewed, and edited, yet it remained mostly unpublished until this book. I've been a professional writer and editor for more than 30 years, earning a decent living, helping other writers and publishers win awards, and yet some of my best work could be wiped out with a few keystrokes or a major software outage. Go With Angels is a collection of personal essays and journal entries and tells the truth as I know and believe it. Yet it wouldn't have come to pass if not for two very dear friends who are both practiced and well-respected psychics. At different times, they came to me with the message that I needed to finish my book. And each time I challenged, because that's what I do, which book? Because like I said, I've written a lot that needs to be published. And both of them, unknown to the other, said, "You know which book." And I did. As soon as they said, "You need to finish your book," I thought of Go With Angels. So I wanted to go a little bit deeper into this book, and I'm going to share some stories from it. My mother told me that she knew I talked with angels when I was as young as 4. Throughout my life, I have seen, heard, and known things that prove to me that there is life after death, and that we can communicate with entities on the other side of the veil. Angels are real, and they truly want to interact with us. They just want us to invite them. We simply need to accept them, allow them to be present in our lives, and quiet our minds enough to hear them. Sometimes hearing takes the form of a dream, a vision, or simply just knowing that our thoughts come from the spirit world rather than from our imaginations. After much thought, meditation, praying, and prodding from those two friends and others, I knew my first book had to be Go With Angels. And I'll tell you why. My son Richard was 16 when he was legally old enough to drive. Like most mothers, I was always concerned for his safety and often cautioned, "Be careful," as he got behind the wheel of the little red truck that he drove to work and school. Like most teenagers, he rolled his eyes and mumbled some sort of acknowledgement and then drove away. I don't know how long he'd been driving when this routine changed for us. After my usual farewell, Richard got out of the truck and walked back to me. He was already taller than I was, so he looked down and said, "Mom, don't you trust me as a driver?" "Of course I do," I told him. He asked me, "Why do you always tell me to be careful? Do you honestly think I plan on going out there to be careless?" I wasn't sure how to respond, because I'd never considered that it might seem to him that I thought he would deliberately be reckless. Calling on my faith, I said a fast and silent prayer for the right words and said, "Go with God and drive with angels." This became my motherly farewell every time he drove away. When his brother earned his driver's license 3 years later, I directed this command toward Matt, too. They both smiled. After a while, they sort of rolled their eyes, but that changed. 2 years later, when Richard joined the Navy, I modified my statement to go with God and sail with angels. Every card, letter, care package, and email ended with my prayer for his safety. The cover photo for my book, called Go With Angels, is of the statue of an angel coming from the ocean to steady the sailor at sea, which Richard bought for me. He said, "Your prayers kept me safe, and when I saw this, I knew it was for you." My other reason for calling this book Go With Angels has to do with Curtis, the man I call my best husband. If you buy the book, you'll be able to read the story, Bud and BJ, which tells more about this in detail. I will not be reading that story today, however. I will read it at some point in the future. But I wanted to tell you that Curtis came up with the idea. He knew I wanted to put the photo of the statue on the cover of my book. But he came up with the idea of how to do it. And his idea was that we needed to take a stool or some sort of small table to the beach and put the statue on there and raise it high enough that we would have no kind of background, no trees, no houses, no power lines. And that is exactly what we did. He stood there for ages, it seemed like, I'm sure, with a little aluminum step stool raised over his head so that I could take pictures of this book, of this statue for my book. As you hear these stories, you may discover that you've encountered angels throughout your life, or my stories might validate your own angelic rendezvous. Whether you currently believe in angels, believe they interact with humans, or fall somewhere in between or on the outside, I hope you will feel the wonder and joy I've experienced and continue to participate in every day of my life. Even if you don't talk with angels or feel their presence in your life, may you always go with angels everywhere you go and take comfort in knowing they are always nearby, ready to help when you need them. Even if you don't believe in angels, they believe in you. My mother told me that when I was a child, I had imaginary playmates, even though she believed they were angels. I once witnessed angels dancing at a funeral, and when I tried to wish them away, one told me that I could close my eyes and my mind, but they would still be there. Years later, when I was emotionally vulnerable, I met four of my angels. I tried to dismiss them too, and was told that if I chose not to acknowledge them, they would still remain. One asked me to open my mind and my heart to truly see them. What happened when I did was the beginning of a journey filled with miracles, although I sometimes forget that I am a spiritual being living a physical experience. I've learned to listen better. I'm still learning to trust. I've discovered that some voices are louder than others, some are more persistent, and that every single one tells the truth. Not just my truth, your truth, a version of the truth. They tell the truth. I've often asked myself if I'm really hearing angels or if my imagination is taking over. Is this my intuition? Is there a difference? And how can I tell which is which? Over time, I've learned. When my intuition speaks, it's subtle and nagging. My imagination can be bizarre. But when my angels speak, oh my, there is no misunderstanding. Jonathan has a booming baritone, and Michael's voice is filled with laughter. Alexander's voice, while definitely masculine, is softer. Harriet is full-on feminine, complete with Scarlett O'Hara's crinoline skirts and a coquettish nature. Andre is the strong, silent type, and Cyril speaks even less, but has a presence that cannot be denied. Raquel, like all my angels, appeared when I needed someone special to guide me through a troubling passage in life. the sound of my angels isn't something physical that I can share with you, like letting you listen to one of my favorite songs on my earbuds. What I hear is actually more like how you remember the sweet voice of a beloved relative or a dear friend you haven't heard in a long time. You'll never forget the sound of that voice because you'll always remember how listening to the voice made you feel. I hear my angels with my heart and my memory. My angels, like people in the physical world, each have different roles. They aren't a one-size-fits-all. I've met more than the seven angels I've already mentioned, and I'm honored to introduce them and more in the pages of my book called Go With Angels. I introduce more than 23 angels in my book called A Journey with Angels. And my children's book called My Angel Book just introduces angels in a very generic way. Scientifically, I doubt I could prove who is talking, but trust me, I know each one by name, voice, and personality. They are as different and as distinctive as you and I. I ask questions and I hear answers. Maybe that's not entirely true. I sense the answers as much as I hear them. I have been called clairaudient because I hear these voices in a specific location near my physical body. I know that what I hear is internal, but it feels external. It's transmitted within my spiritual aura, which extends beyond my physical body. The important thing is that I know my angels speak to me. It's not always easy to hear angels, but the key is to listen, but not just with your ears. After you ask them to reveal or identify themselves, you must remember to be quiet. They come on your breath, in the space between thoughts. If you're thinking too much or too fast, there isn't room for them. I remember a recent show called Messages from Metatron on my Go With Angels podcast. Sometimes I get a little confused because I do two podcasts. One's called Manifest Mondays. One is called Go With Angels. And I talked about how Metatron came to me after a recent trauma to my head. And at first I thought I was hallucinating, and then I thought I was imagining, and then I thought I was just really tired and remembering images. But then I started seeing geometric signs that led toward Metatron, and I've gotten some really interesting messages from him. So if you want to go back and listen to Messages from Metatron, that will tell you a lot more. Angels don't always speak with words. Some are super creative with communication. You might ask to meet your angels right before you find a single white feather where you wouldn't expect one. The feathers don't need to be white either. There are some angels that specifically reveal themselves through different colored angels. Different colored feathers. If you can constantly find the same kind of feather, especially if you've been thinking of communicating with your angels, don't dismiss it as a coincidence. I'll tell you, in my neighborhood, we have a lot of ibis wandering around, and you would think that the yards would be full of white feathers. They're not. It's rare to find a single white feather, even after a flock of ibis has descended on the area. I have recently found hawk and owl feathers in my yard. Sometimes I have found the feather of a blue jay or a blue bird. Those lead and point to certain specific angels, which the specificity of the angels is covered in A Journey with Angels. Go With Angels, which is the show that I'm basically talking about, the book that I'm talking about today, is much more generic. Numbers might start appearing in sequence or in repeating patterns. Three incident repetitions, 111, 222, 333, 444. Those are usually angelic numbers. Very powerful. Specific colors, flowers, or crystals might find their way into your life with more frequency. My husband Curtis believes that when he sees a pink dragonfly, his mother has come to show her support for what he is doing. Many people believe butterflies are symbolic of angels or loved ones. You'll find your own way of communicating with your angels and loved ones who have crossed over. You might meet people named Angel or Angel, Angela, Angelo, or Angelica. Friends may give you gifts that relate to angels and symbols of the spirit world. I just recently, yesterday, got a gift in the mail, unknown to me. I didn't know it was coming. It wasn't my birthday. It wasn't an anniversary. It wasn't a friendiversary. It was just a random gift out of the blue, beautiful little necklace with an angel. Don't forget to watch the sky. They love to play with the clouds as a way of saying hello. In A Journey with Angel, you'll learn about an angel who actually uses dragons in the clouds as his way of saying hello. When you've determined how your angels communicate with you and you start acknowledging your presence, you'll be amazed at how much more often they show up. Don't be surprised to find yourself waking between 3 and 4 in the morning. Though some call this the witching hour, I think of it as the angel hour, the time when angels come to whisper to my soul. If I wake during the night, I'll ask if someone has a message. Some nights, they simply want to spend time with me. They always appreciate being acknowledged. Wouldn't you? I know I do. I first met Andre during one of the infamous Florida hurricanes of 2004. Curtis and I had finished our last-minute hurricane preparations and were doing one more perimeter check as we discussed the two cars in the driveway. I glanced up at our roof and instantly felt at peace. Though Curtis didn't see them, I knew there were four angels there to protect us, one on each corner of the house. James, Jim, Jamie, and Jimmy stood guard. I questioned the similarity of the names, but I didn't question their presence. As quickly as I formulated my thoughts about who would watch over the cars, I saw Andre. Bigger than the other four, Andre told me that he would watch our cars and keep them safe from damage. I call him my car angel, because he's always with me when I drive and protects me from careless drivers, my own mindlessness, and road hazards. One day, Andre defended me from an attacking wheelbarrow. The incident happened so fast, I hardly had time to register it, let alone react to it. It took the remainder of my drive home to process everything. I was traveling with the flow of traffic when I came up behind someone who kept tapping the brakes. So at my safest opportunity, I passed the car. I was almost even with it when I saw a white crew cab pickup coming up behind me in the left lane, fast. Before I could signal my intention to move into the right lane in front of the car I was passing, the truck passed me on the right. I still don't know how the driver knew there was enough room to do that. The truck then pulled into the left lane so fast that a wheelbarrow in the bed of his truck bounced out onto the highway, inches in front of my car. I had no time to react or respond. By the time I realized that an actual wheelbarrow had almost crashed into my car, the moment had passed. I saw a blue blur as the wheelbarrow was thrown from the truck, hit the road on his tire, and then bounced into the grassy median, safely away from me, within a span of time too small to measure. Coincidence? Hardly. I'm certain Andre kept the wheelbarrow from falling into my car and kept my car from colliding with it. The truck sped on, passing other cars and trucks, oblivious to the danger left in his wake. Everything happened so fast that I don't know if the burr of blue I saw was the color of the wheelbarrow or Andre. I just know I was then, and still am, grateful for this traveling mercy. By the way, both cars were practically unharmed during all four hurricanes that ravaged our area in 2004, despite being outdoors for the entire year. One had a few scratches, but otherwise, they fared much better than many of our neighbors' cars. While the Jims protected the house, Andre watched over our cars. Have you ever narrowly escaped a dangerous situation and wondered if it was good timing, good luck, or the work of an angel? I know I am surrounded by angels at all times, and I know the names of many of them. I have been blessed to have angels appear when I needed them most. Some of the angels looked and sounded just like an average human being. I have never had to change a tire in my life, although I have had my share of flats. Within seconds of my pulling off the road and opening the place where the spare tires were stored, whether a car's trunk, an SUV's hatch, or a truck's, whatever you call it, where a truck stores its spare tire, someone has always stopped to assist me. I was once in a caravan of three vehicles. Mothers and children had traveled to visit a beloved pastor who had transferred to another town. The middle vehicle was a van driven by a young single mom of three girls. One of her tires had picked up a nail and she had a sudden blowout. She pulled over and immediately started pulling out her jack and the tire, despite how well she was dressed. "If you wait a minute," I told her, "an angel will come to help us, and you don't need to get dirty." She looked up and down the deserted country road. "It's too hot to stand around and wait for angels. I can do it. I've had to learn how to take care of myself." I watched her and smiled as I saw a small sports car pull up behind our line of cars. A man in a suit got out and offered to help, but didn't seem to want to get his hands dirty. Just as he resolved to help the women in distress, a pickup pulled onto the shoulder at the front of the line, and two men in camouflage tried to get my friend to let them help, but she insisted she could manage. Within seconds, and I mean seconds, a state trooper pulled up, blue lights flashing. He made sure the highway would be safe and asked the camouflaged gentleman to take over. Within a few minutes, we were all on our way, and I burst out laughing. Three cars, three sets of angels, but only one flat tire, thank goodness. The wings of an angel can be disguised as the arms of my husband, sons, or grandson, the telephone with a loved one on the other end, a surprise greeting card, or the fact that after giving my home a very thorough cleaning, I still have energy to write. The wings of an angel carry me when I have no strength to go another step. They shelter me from the harsh realities of the world and protect me from the negative energy of people who simply cannot understand, because they've never been tickled by a feather from an angel's wing. I believe angels are real, but not all of them have wings. Some angels work with humans on a conscious level, and others work with people who aren't yet aware of their power and gifts. We often call these people earth angels. They are living a life filled with peace and unconditional love, and we can't help but want to be near them. Do you know anybody like that? I've recently done another story on this channel called 8 Angels Who Are True Earth Angels. And these are angels that do have wings. They're angels that are of the heavenly realm, and they love earth and they love humans. And I hope you'll listen to that too. Here's another story that's not exactly about angels, but I think you will appreciate it, and I promise to end with another angelic encounter. We are all people. Inside and out, we are still just people. Cut me, and I will bleed as red as any black man, yellow child, brown woman, or orange cat. O positive blood is still O positive blood, regardless of its source. Biblical scholars declare that God created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. Do you think God is brown or black or pink or tan or beige? Is Santa Claus really a fat white man in a red suit? Is the tooth fairy a buck-tooth homosexual? Is Jesus an oddly pale man from the Middle East with perfect hair? I actually happen to know what God looks like. And guess what? You are God's spitting image. We all are. But you can only see this from the inside out. God, like most of us, loves diversity. How boring life would be if we were all the same height, had the same skin color, and our hair was never allowed to be styled or colored differently. You know, I like to change up my hair. Living in a physical body can be challenging enough. So imagine if we couldn't have the diversity of different body shapes, sizes, and colors. I would look just like you, and you would look just like everyone else. But you don't. You look just like God, the I Am. And I have seen the image of the great I Am. One powerful incident happened only a few months after my first husband and I had commemorated our 25th wedding anniversary. Afterwards, I decided to leave him. I had been asleep for only 2 hours when he woke me up to ask me where the love letters were. From not one, but 7 lovers he suspected me of keeping. Trying to rub the nightmare from my eyes, I thought he meant the love letters he had written to me when we were in high school together. It took me a few minutes to realize he was serious, and I knew that no amount of reasoning would work with him. This time, unlike the many times he had awakened me for the previous quarter of a century, he was accusing me of infidelity. He wasn't wondering why my recent diet had brought only a 2-pound loss in a week rather than the 15 he wanted. This time I was suspected of breaking my most sacred of vows, not just of calling my own mother without his knowledge or misbalancing the checkbook. There was no way to reason with him. He was obsessed with a suspicion that he was certain was true. I couldn't and I wouldn't lie to him. Why would I, when he had been my solitary lover in life? I wasn't going to placate him with comforting words or assurances. I'd somehow gotten the strength to decide it was no longer my job to be his codependent. I had to find a way to evade his barrage of feather-light browbeating. I wanted only to run away. But since he had me pinned to a corner of the couch, all I could do was pray for a way out. I prayed for insanity, because I felt that might be my only option. I thought that if I could be admitted to an institution and medicated, the pain I'd been feeling for more than 10 years would magically disappear. I pleaded for peace and begged to go insane, because I felt like I already was. I cried in sheer desperation and helplessness. But when I called out for help from my Creator, I saw something that is so amazing that I still revel in the glory of it more than 20 years later. I saw the biblical meaning of God created man in his image. Before I saw what I am looks like, I heard a voice. It wasn't my husband's, our son's, or mine. The voice was audible only to my heart, but resounded in every cell of my body. The voice said, "Mary, that is not what I want for you, and that is not what you want for you. Come to me, and I will give you the strength you need. I will keep you safe." I could barely utter my simple, "Okay." And instantly I had an out-of-body experience. I saw my own soul. I also saw the spirit of the man I had married in my youth. Spiritually, I was dried up and withered like a leaf in winter, waiting for the inevitable crush that would turn me into dust. He, on the other hand, was dancing and rejoicing in his power over me. He sang, "She'll never leave me now. I have her where I want her." Of course, his song wasn't audible, and he would have denied it. He probably wouldn't have believed it himself. This was something going on deep inside on the spiritual level. I must have said out loud, "Oh, God, help me." Because the man I thought had loved me snarled and said, "I am the only one in this house who serves the one true God." And that's when I got scared. "Oh, God, help me," I prayed as I cried and begged silently for strength. Then I had a vision. Large cylindrical crystals made of nothing but a father's love for his child in pain seemed to fall from the ceiling and formed an interlocking circular wall of light. I heard the voice call me over to the enclosure, and as I stepped in with my spirit, the wall closed around me, creating a protective barrier. I recalled the biblical verse about Job, where God had planted a hedgerow of protection around him. At that precise moment, the man I had married pulled away with a gasp of pain, though nothing physical had touched him. I found the courage and strength to stand, and I pushed through the small gap he'd created when he pulled away from me. I announced, "I am leaving you. Give me 1 week." I watched in awe as my once timid, crumbling spirit returned to the glory of a faithful soul. From that moment, the man I had shared my life with never touched me again, unless I first reached out from my protective wall of love. I no longer concerned myself with his wrath. I was stronger and have grown more powerful with each passing day. That is when I saw what it meant to be created in God's image. Beams of light in every imaginable color, and some colors I had never dreamed of, came from every possible direction, illuminating my once withered spirit and reviving my hope. I saw the beams of light, which are simply expressions of God's love, all merge into a central point to create a blinding, brilliant white light. And I knew that the light was coming from within me. Anyone who has ever studied basic art concepts or elementary science will agree that when white light shines through a prism or through water vapor, like a rainbow, the white light is broken apart into all the colors. That is what we are. All the colors in the image of God. We are all the color of love. Does it matter where we originated from? Does anyone care that scientists have suggested we all share the same DNA, regardless of origin, skin color, family history? What matters is not our past, but our future. Where we came from is not as important as where we are going. I am going inside the light, and I hope to meet you there. If you think you or someone you know could be the victim of domestic abuse, which isn't always physical, please seek help. You can talk to someone who can tell you if you are being mentally, emotionally, financially, or psychologically abused. Call 800-799-7233. That's 800-799-7233. Now here's the angelic story I promised to end on a lighter note. My son Matt was a toddler when we lived near the interstate. There was a huge sand pit behind our home where the previous owner had sold the soil to the state to help build the highway. One day, Matt disappeared. He had stayed outside with his father when I returned to prepare lunch, and his father thought he had gone inside with me. When I called everyone in to eat, Matt was gone. We abandoned thoughts of food and started an immediate search, but my child was nowhere in sight. My voice, which should have been reassuring, was filled with the mother's worst fears. And when he heard me, he started crying, which is how we located him. He had wandered through the yard and followed a slight downward path until he was at the bottom of the pit. He just walked around until he heard my frantic calls. I thanked God for protecting my little one and held him tightly. When he told me that he was just walking, I explained that he was too young and too small to be walking alone. I asked him to promise that he would always take someone with him when he went for a walk again. And like a good child, he did promise. A few weeks later, Matt vanished again. I may have been more worried this time than the first. Then I noticed that both of our puppies were also missing. We called Matt and whistled for the pups. In a few minutes, all three appeared at the edge of the woods that bordered our property. When I scolded Matt for walking off by himself, he gazed up at me with a child's innocence. "Not alone," he said. "Bambi and Thumper are with me." He was, of course, right. His two companions had been with him as he explored. I smiled, hugged him, and thanked God again for his safe return and for providing two little fluffy angels for my son. Our angels don't always resemble the paintings in museums, though sometimes they present that way to us. Sometimes our angels look just like puppies. These just happened to be white Spitz puppies who followed Matt everywhere. My son still loves to wander along wooded paths. He and I both know that even though his dogs are long gone, his angels have taken less obvious forms and are still his faithful companions. That's it for today. I hope you'll join me every Friday morning at 11 o'clock Eastern Time when I talk about my experiences with angels. I'd love for you to call the show and talk with me about your experiences too. My books are all for sale at BeUnique.org, and proceeds from all the sales are donated to Be Unique, an educational charity. If you want to be a guest on my show, just email me at Mary@BeUnique.org, and you can be the star. That's Mary@BeUnique.org. Before we part ways, remember, wherever life's journey takes you, may you always go by with angels by your side. This is Mary Brotherton bidding you farewell with a whisper of hope and a wing of inspiration. Until we meet again, may your path be blessed and your spirit soar. Go with angels, my friends.